Carlos, hey, you're scaring me a little bit here because you dropped to Dylan Lesko, then you dropped to Brock Porter, and you're trying to sell
the risk with high school pitchers.
Let's run Baseball America hot sheet and make sure you get yourself a Baseball America subscription. Scotty Braun here with Baseball America's JJ Cooper and Jeff Ponce. And a reminder to everyone, actually, it's kind of news and no one should know this besides us internally, but next week it is Labor Day on Monday. So being that we're observing Labor Day, we're just going to push hot sheet back a day instead of Tuesday. We'll give everyone an extra little breath and we'll do Wednesday, 3 o'clock Eastern live for hot sheet to get an extra day of absorbing prospect highlights and then getting into some of the news that's going on right now in the prospect world. So again, next week, 3 o'clock Eastern time, we'll try and take your questions live like we do every single week. So let's do that right now. Let's get into first move and some news. So the Red Sox as a major league ball club are spiraling down out of playoff contention, and they do have some exciting prospects that are getting closer to getting called up to the show. JJ Cooper, Marcelo Meyer will not get called up this year. He's likely done for the season with a lumbar strain. So where are we at on Meyer and the Red Sox kind of top trio? And obviously you can even make a case for a fourth these days.
I would say I'm going to go with the quality quartet at this point, because I think Christian Campbell has worked himself into that discussion. He's now up there in AAA he's a WooSock like the rest of them. The thing with Meyer, you just want to see him be healthy. Like, he kind of had the second half of last year where he kind of tried to play through it, but he had injuries last year. Injuries again this year. This kind of shut him down a little early. Now, the debate several years ago now in the draft was Jordan Lawler or Marcelo Meyer. Of the two, Meyer has actually been the more durable of the two, but this is a concern with both guys. It doesn't mean that they're not going to have a long stretch of health going forward, but you do kind of worry about these things. Anthony Rendon's always the guy that comes to mind for this. Anthony Rendon kind of had a series of freak injuries, I guess you would say, when he was at Rice early in his pro career. Then he had a stretch of really durability, and then the health issues came back. But Jeff, kind of, what are you worried about this with Meyer, or is this more of like a little blip?
Yeah, I think absolutely I'm worried about this with Meyer. Consistently he's shown that he can't really stay healthy. We've had multiple years in a row, and these aren't like broken hands. This isn't a hamate bone or something like that that just happens from playing the game. It's a lumbar injury. He had a back injury last year. Backs typically don't get better. They're more often than not degenerative. And I think like that's a major concern when you think about how he stacks up with the rest of this group. There's maybe opportunity there in Boston at shortstop. It's going to depend upon Trevor Story's health. So you're sort of maybe replacing one player with another guy who's less healthy. I just don't know how he fits into the plans, if he's going to be fully healthy next season. I think some of the whispers I've heard is just a greater commitment by Meyer in the offseason and in season, just in terms of the maintenance lifting and that sort of stuff, and just really improving, his physicality and, just his endurance. And I think that's been a lasting concern, something that's been around for a couple of years. It sort of has struck again. And it's not great the way that this injury played out either. It was sort of, he's down for a couple of weeks and then he'll be back. He gets the promotion to AAA. There's kind of whispers at that point that he maybe plays later in the week. And then he gets shut down. He's on the IL. And now we hear a couple of weeks later that, he's out for the remainder of the season, which isn't great.
So what about you, Jeff? Where are you at on Red Sox prospects? And, do you think that at least a couple of these prospects in the, what did you call it? The quality quartet?
The quality quartet.
What do you think about the upside of what's coming next for Boston? Because, fans in Boston are getting impatient. This year's been a surprise for the ball club, but they're not going to be in the playoffs again. So it is what it is, and they want to know what's next.
Yeah, I think, this has been a bright spot season for the Red Sox overall, just based on what the expectations were. I think there were some dreams in the early part of the summer that they were going to catch the Yankees or the Orioles. They just weren't built like that. I don't think the amount of players that they needed to improve the club this season to make a playoff push were really available on the market in a realistic way. And if so, they would have had to have parted with, some of this quality quartet up at the top. We talk about Meyer. I think the conversation now sort of moves to, you know, is Anthony number one? For my money, I've been on this train for the better part of a year. I think, you know, you look at the production, you look at the combination of quality of contact and just absolute legitimate power, like 70 grade raw power. You look at the, I did an article last week where we looked at the percentiles in terms of, you know, hitters under 21 and where they ranked in the greater scape of the minor leagues. In terms of the exit velocity numbers, Marcelo Meyer is 99th percentile. It's, you know, right on par with James Wood. It's not all that different. It's a different package. It's not quite as big, but still a bigger guy, a left-handed power hitter in Fenway Park that has that 70 grade power that he can hit it out to right field. I think people forget just because they see Pesky's bowl, you know, how deep right field and the bullpens are to really hit the ball out to right field there. You have to have legitimate power. We saw Andrew Benintendi hit a lot of warning track fly balls because he didn't have that sort of pop. Anthony has that sort of pop with bat to ball skills, with excellent approach. He has the ability to play all three outfield positions. I think that he has, you know, multi-time all-star upside. I think of all these guys, Anthony is the one I'm most excited about. I think you have a franchise catcher or an everyday catcher in Kyle Teal. You know, JJ will attest, I sit and I watch this guy and I kept poking him at the Futures game saying, it's Kyle Teal, good ball player. Just does everything really well, all the little things. You know, we heard on this show, you know, at the prospect pad about the guy's work ethic and just the amount of over-the-top work this guy will do. He's just a grinder, and I think Boston fans are going to really gravitate toward that. And then you have Christian Campbell, who probably has the best chance of breaking camp as an everyday player next year with the Red Sox. The second base position has been a hole for a long time. And I think Campbell has proven that he's hit at every level of the minors. It's continued to work. You know, he's hitting for contact. He's hitting for power. There's speed there. He can play multiple different positions. But I think second base is his best defensive position. He's probably the best defender of the players they have available. He's surpassed Vaughn Grisham for sure in my mind at this point.
Okay, so some of those players are coming soon, right? As early as maybe next year, breaking camp. But let's get to September, right? September's right around the corner, JJ. Dylan Cruz just got called up. I know you joined us on on Foul Territory to talk about Dylan, and we just saw him in his debut, and hopefully he becomes a very valuable member of the Washington Nationals. What's next? Who else could get called up between now and the end of the season that we should be keeping an eye on?
It is a lot more anticlimactic than it used to be. We used to be, we had the 40-man, you know, roster. Anyone on the 40 could be called up, and so you had this onslaught of players. Now it's basically two players. So kind of a lot of these prospects who we're looking forward to already are up. But the one that I'm kind of keeping my eye on is Jason Dominguez, who was up as the extra player, the 27th player for the Little League game, I guess a week ago now. But he's one who I look at and say he could make an impact, because Dominguez has been in the big leagues before, came back from Tommy John surgery, has been hitting at AAA. And if you're a Yankees fan, you probably, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, they're kind of lacking production in the corner outfield spots. Alex Verdugo has really struggled, especially second half of the season. I'd be interested to see if Dominguez gets that call. He's already on the 40-man. And then if he gets that call, could he end up showing in September that he could be their everyday left fielder come October? That's a guy who could be coming up for more than just a cup of coffee, more than just getting acclimated, but actually to make an impact.
My next guy is Quinn Matthews. You know, he doesn't have the 40-man roster status at this point, but I think, you know, he's definitely in the mix with this Cardinals rotation next year. It's sort of been the experiment of taking these soft-tossing lefties from college baseball that have these pitchability skills, that have the ability to eat innings and get deep into starts. Matthews has shown that this year, plus really improved stuff. I think we've talked about him in the show multiple times. You know, up 94 and 95, sitting there consistently in the four-seam fastball. The added power across his arsenal, I think, has really put him squarely in the conversation for, you know, best pitching prospect in the minors this year, and certainly the best pitching prospect that the Cardinals have developed in quite a while. So I don't know if it's a sure thing that he gets called up. He's still in Double-A, but he's been dominating. And I think that some sort of promotion is looming, whether that's to Triple-A over the last couple of weeks, or maybe they do give him a look-see in the major leagues for a couple of starts and see how it goes. Four-year college player, a little bit older, so I think the 40-man roster concerns are probably, you know, a little bit less important just because of how old he is versus other guys that might have been in the draft class.
Okay. So if anyone has any other ideas or questions about September call-ups, we can certainly field them here and try to get to them at the end of the show. Before we get to the top pick of this past draft, let's get a little sponsor shout out in here. So today we wanted to introduce you to an amazing tool to increase energy levels. That's called Lumen. It's also a way to help you feel better in your body, to lose weight, and really to maintain healthy weight is a big key in terms of what they're bringing to the table here. So Lumen gives you recommendations to improve your metabolic health based on the context of your breath measurement. So whether that's the first thing in the morning or before and after meals and workouts, you know, it's a tool that you can use that measures metabolic measurements. About 55 million metabolic measurements have been logged by Lumen, and they're the leading experts on metabolic health. So their recommendations are science-backed, personalized to your measurements, so you know what you're doing and what's best for your body. All you have to do is breathe into your Lumen first thing in the morning, and you'll know what's going on with your metabolism, whether you're mostly burning fats or carbs, and then they'll give you a personalized nutrition plan for that day based on your measurements. So scan that QR code on your screen. The code is HOTSHEET, HOTSHEET, for 15% off your Lumen. That's lumen.me, lumen.me is the website, and use the code HOTSHEET or hit that QR code on the screen right now. Start taking charge of your health today. Helium spot, Travis Bazana, former first overall pick. Let's get into what he's been up to lately. JJ, you want to kick this off?
Yeah, so I'm going to really kind of kick this to Jeff pretty quickly, because Jeff was just seeing Bazana in person, watching him play, also talking about hitting. And we have a story up at baseballamerica.com that Jeff did with Bazana. And the thing that just jumped out, this is not going to shock anyone if you've been following Travis Bazana for any period of time, but this is a pure hitter who really dives deep, thinks about hitting, understands hitting. And Jeff, what did you come away? What was it that really jumped out to you after kind of your deep dive conversation? I know you've been having a lot of fun conversations about hitting, but what is it that Travis told you that really stood out?
Yeah, I think it's just number one, my impressions of him is just how cerebral he is about hitting, just the detail in terms of the work that he puts in off the field, knowing his identity really well, and just in terms of the things that he needs to be doing well to be at the top of his game. And, you know, that could come down to tracking metrics, and just part of his process is looking at a variety of metrics overall, you know, over the course of a series or course of a season or a given sample size, but also, you know, after each game, he's getting the TrackMan report. He's sort of looking at where balls were in the zone, a particular looking strike he might have taken that he didn't think was a strike. Was that really a strike, or vice versa? And just making sure, I think the big thing that he kind of communicated was just having a plan, being really, really stubborn within that plan. That was a word that he used quite a bit when talking about it. Just what pitches to swing at and what pitches not to swing at, and that sort of thing.
I like it. And obviously, what about interview wise as a person, like, you know, I'm interested to see what he looks like on the field, of course, but I'm also biased because I'm in the media. Do we have a great interview on the way to the big leagues eventually?
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's probably a little flair that's added to it because of the Australian accent and just having an unusual background and some of those things. But when you get into hitting with Travis and you just talk about the game, you know, you see about all the different angles in which he sort of approaches hitting on a day-to-day basis, the other players that he looks up to. One player in particular that he constantly went back to was Juan Soto, and just, you know, how stubborn Juan Soto is in terms of his approach, and why, you know, he's somebody who's able to not only walk at a higher rate than anybody else in baseball, but also slug at a really, really high rate, you know, and just have that elite combination of on-base ability plus power and hitting. And he talked a lot about batted ball angles. He talked a lot about, you know, just being sort of positioned behind the ball and just matching that angle of the ball consistently, and just how Soto in particular has room for error. So I think when you hear him talk about other players and talk about himself and just, you know, how eloquently he kind of can go between both and kind of draw the comparisons, I think this is an excellent interview that's going to be coming. So a lot of fun. Plus, you know, like I said, he's Australian, so you get that, you know, Crocodile Dundee type of flair too, right?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I've interviewed Curtis Mead a few times in the past, so you get a little different accent coming your way to the big leagues, and hopefully that's soon for Travis. So make sure you check out that article posted on Baseball America from Jeff coming soon. Jeff, great to see you. We'll see you next week.
A lot, man. Always happy to be on.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. We mean it. We have a college baseball writer opening at Baseball America right now. And where are we posting it? Indeed. Because Indeed makes hiring easy, and it gives us great candidates. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses, including Baseball America, worldwide, that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. I don't know about you, but I love fall. Fall is a time where the weather just feels perfect from the start of the day to the end. It's a great time for me to get on a bike, take a good long ride where it's nice and crisp, not cold, but crisp. And it's time for new fall traditions, like getting regular hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier Plus Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do. And they've combined their popular peach flavor with the highly requested blackberry to awaken your senses and keep you coming back for more. Liquid IV makes my workouts more enjoyable. It's really easy to prep. I just take my water bottle, fill it with water, some ice, pour in the Liquid IV, stir it up. It's ready to go. It gives me better hydration than I would if I was just using water. It's something that just makes those bike rides even more enjoyable than they were before. Hydration Multiplier Plus Energy delivers energy comparable to 1 to 2 cups of coffee through about 100 milligrams of naturally occurring caffeine. Experience the deliciousness of one of our best-selling flavors, peach, perfectly paired with the highly requested blackberry. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall tradition with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code BA2022 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code BA2022 at liquidiv.com. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health: their food. What she's discovered is that the way that many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that can be wrecking your dog's health. And this is true from even many premium brands. Fortunately, she's found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone could do the same thing to see incredible changes to their dog's health. I've got 2 dogs, and I want them to be with me for a very long time. There's a lot of good stuff here that made me think about how most dog foods are made, what to avoid for my dogs, and superfoods that are great for them. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/baseball and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's BADLANDSFOOD.com/baseball.
Thank you. Appreciate you. And before we get to Carlos Collazo to talk a little draft, let's get to one fan question from Swish. Thoughts on Peyton Eales, JJ, Indy League success story signed by the Twins and has been solid. What do you think?
Yeah, so this is kind of what we're hoping, I guess MLB's hoping to see which is we have a shortened draft now, 20 rounds. Ely's, I think it's Ely's, but I'm not sure on that, but is a Coastal Carolina star, was kind of a little bit older, is really short. I mean, that's the main thing, 5'5", 5'6". So he's a guy who didn't pass kind of like the, oh, this is the prototypical guy to get drafted. But, hey, he went to, you know, he signed with the Atlantic League, jumps to the Twins, and three levels, hits Triple A, and he's hit everywhere he's gone, has a really good batting eye. It's a very small strike zone, makes it hard to, you know, kind of, he knows what he's doing at the plate. He's already a success story because he's had a great year that's reached Triple A. But this is the guy, I don't think he's going to ever be probably be a big league regular, but I do think he has a chance to be a big leaguer at some point, which a huge success story for signing a guy out of a partner league. And he's definitely a name. By the way, Twins, not just that. Carson McCusker just got promoted to Triple A as well. We talked about him on the Hot Sheet show early in the season. Massive power. Some, you know, he's the flip side. He's this big, massive, tall dude who, you know, there's some strikeouts there, but there's also massive power. And he showed that this year. So the Twins have really gotten some success from the indie ball slash partner league route.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, the league definitely wants to see that succeed, where you get players coming from the independent leagues and then to the minor leagues, and then, you know, hopefully some success stories up to the show. And there's our friend joining the show right now, Carlos Collazo from Baseball America. All right, here we go. We're already on to 2025. Carlos, let's dive into the 2025 draft and what you're working on right now.
Yeah, let's do it. Happy to. Well, I got some good news for you guys. It does seem like the 2025 class is a bit more exciting than a year ago. I know it was a fairly low bar, especially on the high school side, one of the weaker high school classes we've seen in recent years. But recently, over the last few weeks and months, it's been summer showcase season for me. That's meant focusing on a lot of high school players. And the high school class, I think, is fairly exciting this year. Obviously, a lot of people already know about Ethan Holliday, the younger brother of Jackson Holliday, who is at the very top of the class at this point. He's had a fair summer, I would say. But I'm really excited right now about a high school pitcher. I can maybe get some pitching propaganda in here. I love those profiles. I love to dream on the upside available. And that's Seth Hernandez, a Corona High School right-handed pitcher. He is probably better at this point than any pitcher we had in last year's class. We've got another chance to find a prep pitcher inside the first 10 picks of the draft. Not sure if that's something that really excites you guys or something that you're hesitant about. I know a lot of people really prefer hitters, college players at the very top of the draft. You just have less risk and a little bit quicker path to the bigs. But for me, Seth Hernandez is one of the more exciting high school pitchers in recent years. I think he's earning some Dylan Lesko comparisons already. And while saying that right now maybe isn't the most sexy thing in the world, just given some of his command issues in the past, I really do think Lesko, for me, is probably the most advanced, polished, and exciting high school pitching prospects that I've ever seen. It's either Lesko or Mackenzie Gore, given what they are doing at this stage in their high school careers. And Seth Hernandez is a guy who is sitting in the mid-90s with his fastball. He's touching 100. He's got an outlier changeup that you really don't see that often for high school players. I know JJ and I a few years ago dove into just how often do you see 70-grade changeups for high school pitchers, with Dylan Lesko and Brock Porter having two tremendous ones. Seth Hernandez is a player who already scouts are asking me, hey, is this the best high school changeup we've seen?
Carlos, you're scaring me a little bit here, because you dropped to Dylan Lesko, then you dropped to Brock Porter, and you're trying to sell
the risk with high school pitchers.
We are demonstrating some of the risk here, because obviously Porter's had a year that has not gone as he wants to go either. But I would say with that, the other thing I always like to say with this is 7 years. Whenever you draft a prep pitcher, especially a first round prep pitcher, think of what you're hoping to get something really all click 7 years later. It's funny when we say this, Hunter Green, 2018 draft. Mm-hmm. Okay, look at him now. Look at Mackenzie Gore, who's kind of, I think, run out of gas a little bit, but look at where kind of his development is. 7 years from when you draft them, that's what it also makes a little tougher to take these high school guys, especially these high school pitchers at the top of the draft, is that I think that's generally a pretty good rule. There are exceptions to that, but if you look at it time after time, it often takes 7 years from when you draft a high school prep pitcher first round to when he kind of it all clicks. And that might be because there's an injury in there at some point, but you know, you got to be a little more patient. And that's where I think sometimes there's a lot of this pressure to go with the college guys, because a lot of times if you're a GM, you look and say 7 years, that's a long time. Maybe it's 5, maybe it's 6, maybe it's 8. But, you know, on the college side, we often have one, two, or three. As we're speaking of, we're talking about Dylan Cruz being up. We're looking at the first, the second, the fourth, and the sixth picks from last year's draft are already up in the big leagues. So you have to be a little bit more patient when you take these prep arms at the top of the class.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. Oh, go ahead, Scott. Sorry.
I was just thinking about like taking this up to the big league level where, you know, on foul territory, we'll often joke 5-year plan or even a 7-year plan for GMs when they take over and how that buys them a lot of time. Yet I also do think there is a tendency nowadays to push towards the college ranks because you can get that instant return, right? Like if you're running a front office, you not only have to put wins together and, you know, get butts in the seats, but the person above you, the owner, who's probably not paying as close of attention, you know, is he going to see that college player that quickly gets to the show and he's polished and has less risk, or the higher risk, maybe higher reward guy 7 years from now? Who the heck knows what you'll be doing in the job situation there too, right? So when you start to add all of that up, it does make it a tough sell.
Yeah, it absolutely does. I mean, from my perspective, there's no money on the line, so I really like these high school players. I think in general, you get a more exciting package of athleticism and an upside with these high school players, because the elite guys in every draft class are just getting drafted straight out of high school. They don't really make it to campus. The Dylan Cruises of the world are the exceptions, not the norm. Maybe that's changing slightly in this new era as more and more college players get drafted. But I really quickly on this 25 draft class, just to hit on this element of the class that I think is fascinating. It's very West Coast heavy this year. And I think particularly on the high school side, 16 of our top 25 prospects on the high school class are in the western half of the country. And then specifically with Corona High School, the same high school that Seth Hernandez attends, we have three players, including Seth. We've got Billy Carlson, we've got Brady Ebel, who are all at Corona High School. It's got to be one of the most electric, high upside, like clustered talent groups of high school programs I can remember. I know Harvard Westlake in general is a program that we always talk about as having a number of players on the same team. There were a few pitchers in that specific team that were kind of scattered through different draft classes. But the fact that you've got three potential first rounders between Hernandez, Brady Ebel, Billy Carlson. Carlson is a dynamic two-way player, shortstop and right-handed pitcher. Brady Ebel is another infielder who's one of the more advanced, polished hitters in this high school class. The fact that we could have three first rounders from Corona High School is awesome, I think. I'm rooting for that personally. I think it would be cool to see. But a lot of scouts are going to be spending a lot of time on the West Coast this year.
Maybe we should do the draft at Corona High School next year.
Yeah, that'd be a blast.
And move the date, but whatever. Topic for another day. Just sneaking that in there. Anyway, all right, so good stuff on the draft. We'll have Carlos hang around with us for a couple more minutes as we get to a couple fan questions, which we always encourage here, and we try to get to as many as possible, especially if they make sense. So Ben, with a question on Cam Collier's walk rate, it has dramatically increased in the second half of the season, and in August, he's been making a ton of contact as well. Could he sneak back into the top 100 with a strong finish, JJ?
I think he could. I would still say it has been a very good finish. We wrote him up today in the Baseball America hot sheet story that's at baseballamerica.com. He's having a great month, a kind of a great finish to the season. There still are some concerns here, though. Like it's something where I would say that Collier's kind of hot streak here kind of matches something he showed early in the season. He kind of runs hot and cold. The biggest question, I think, kind of revolves around where is he going to play eventually? I don't think there's any question about the power. Maybe there's some questions about his consistency of getting to that power. But the big question is going to be, okay, are we talking about third baseman or are we talking about a first baseman? And a lot of times when you talk to scouts, you know, there's still a lot of belief that eventually he might end up being at first base, which is just going to put a lot more pressure on the bat. But his bat may be good enough to make that work as well. But that's kind of what weighs in as we're kind of looking at him from a top 100 prospect perspective.
Okay. Good one there. And then let's get to one more. I think this was related to our conversation about September call-ups. Looks like a question about Kumar Rocker. Is he a possible call-up or at least an early 2025 guy? And, you know, after JJ comments, if you want to give us something on tracking the progress of Kumar Rocker, Carlos, because I know you've been doing that for a while, you can jump in after him as well.
I'll start by saying if Kumar Rocker had signed the first time he was drafted out of Vandy, I would say yes, because then he would be a 2021 college draftee. And then you would be saying, okay, we're going to have to add him to the 40-man roster in the offseason anyway. But because he didn't sign that year you have kind of that extra year. And so you don't have a 40-man roster decision with them, which may make it a little bit tougher to bring them up this year, just because if the Rangers look at it kind of a crowded 40-man roster in the offseason, maybe they wait. But I do think he's absolutely put himself in position to clearly be part of their 2025 plans. He looks, to be honest, he looks probably better than he has really in several years. I do think if you look at even like the end of his Vandy career, you saw times where it looked like maybe he was battling some things. Health-wise, his velo would kind of waver up and down. He looks really good right now. And, you know, Carlos, again, you've watched Kumar Rocker for many a year, but I'm guessing you're pretty excited to see what we're seeing right now too.
Yeah, it's nice to see him healthy. It's nice to see him consistently throwing a lot of strikes here recently. I think from a pure stuff perspective, you have a lot of insight into maybe the logistics of maneuvering him on the roster. From a pure stuff perspective, he's been ready for years. I think we expected him to be one of the quicker moving players originally when he was a draft prospect coming out of Vanderbilt before we got into some of these injury hurdles that he's dealt with. So the slider still looks electric. I think he can get outs with that pitch. The fastball has enough velocity and I think enough kind of unique elements to the pitch, even beyond the velocity. That I think he's not going to have any issue getting outs and missing bats at the major league level. So I would be excited to see him up, whether or not that's late this year, early next year. Just seeing both him and Jack Leiter actually having a little bit of resurgence this year has been a lot of fun.
There you go. Good questions from everyone this week, as always. And if you want to get your questions in next week, you have to do that live at 3 o'clock Eastern on Wednesday. We've got Labor Day on Monday, and we'll do our usual kind of dance 2 days into the work week. So it'll be Wednesday, 3 o'clock Eastern time. Please like and share this video, subscribe to the Baseball America YouTube channel, the podcast, and to Baseball America itself. For more information there, go to baseballamerica.com. Again, shout out to our sponsor for this show today, Lumen. There you go. Scan that QR code, use code HOTSHEET for 15% off Lumen. Thanks for supporting the show. And thanks everyone for watching and listening. We'll see you next week.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.